Hear these words from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Jesus and the disciples went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed. And they kept asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God. You know, it's kind of funny when you read the scriptures like that, sometimes things pop out at you. This isn't something that I just realized until right now. But the people were asking the question, "What is this?" Now, if you'll think back several weeks ago, there was a children's lesson. And the words, "What is this?" translated as manna. There was Jesus once again feeding the people. You know, early in his ministry, he had already established himself as a miracle worker. And that's where he is now in this first chapter of Mark. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He restored sight to the blind. He turned water into wine. There's nothing that this man from Galilee cannot do, including exorcising spirits. On this day, Jesus was doing one of the things he did best. He was teaching about God's kingdom. And yet his teaching was unlike some that they had heard before. Now, we don't know the content of the lesson that day. We don't know the scripture that was read. But the people were amazed because he spoke as one with authority. And his teaching was solid, but it was new. Now, the people were used to coming to the synagogue and hearing a lesson by the scribes. The scribes, by comparison, lacked the authority that they heard that particular day. The scribes taught the law. Jesus taught grace and forgiveness. Now, I've heard a whole lot of sermons in my day. I've heard the powerful, and I've heard the pitiful. Most of the time, people are gracious to compliment even my most pitiful sermons. But Mark calls out the scribes while at the same time complimenting Jesus. Thank God Mark is not part of Memorial. While they were in the synagogue that day, a man comes in their midst, and a man who is described as having an unclean spirit. And he recognizes something in Jesus that the others do not. He says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The demon knows that Jesus has the authority and power over him, and that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah. And Jesus commands the spirit, "Be quiet. Come out of the man." And the spirit had no choice but to obey. Hear me twice. The spirit had no choice but to obey Jesus. Now, in our story, we assume that the spirit is a demoniac. It has the knowledge of Jesus. It knows it's subordinate to Jesus. But the scripture is full of stories of Jesus exercising demons. Some of them are called demons. Some are called unclean spirits. Yet some of Jesus' best exercising, even today, is a bad teaching. Hierarchical beliefs that one person is better than another. Jesus exercised heresy, and he brought the mighty low. So what unclean spirits can Jesus erase from your life? Yeah, the question begins with you. What unclean spirits inhabit your own lives? Rather than starting a list, I'm going to let you examine that within yourself. Well, what is it that resides in your heart, your body, your mind, that's not Christ-like? And ask yourself, do you believe that the sin in your life is stronger than Jesus? Or do you believe that Jesus has no power to heal you? Maybe you bought into the lie that Jesus won't help because you're a bad person. You're beyond his reach. That's one demon I wish I could exorcise. I rebuke that teaching, that belief. Jesus came to save sinners. What did Jesus come to save us from? Well, quite frankly, ourselves. He gave his life so that you may have life, and life in abundance. He came to forgive and to heal. He came to raise up the lowly. He ate with the worst kind of people, according to tradition. He came to give sight, second sight, and the ability to see outside of ourselves. What can you possibly have in your life, in your heart, your body, your mind, that Jesus can't heal? Nothing. Perhaps the most powerful spirit we have in our world today, besides pride and hate, is addiction. And yet, it's been proven that Christian recovery is the most effective means of healing. Why is that? Because of Jesus. Maybe you've got an unclean spirit of prejudice or hate. Jesus taught you to love your neighbor. Well, who is your neighbor? In Jesus' day, it was the Samaritan heretic whose ancestors strayed from the faith. And yet Jesus lifts him up and makes him the hero of the story. Jesus lifted the impoverished widow and exalted her above the rich Pharisee at the temple. He lifted up the beggar, Lazarus, over the rich man. And if you believe, he will lift you up as well. Jesus still teaches through the scriptures with authority. He still has hold over the demons that plague us today. And he has not only the power, but the desire to heal you today. In Matthew 11, we hear, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls." I rather like the way Eugene Peterson says it in The Message. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This morning, I kind of revisited, what kind of church are we? Who are we? Are we a traditional church? Are we one of those contemporary churches? I don't think that matters what flavor, because vanilla and strawberry are still ice cream. Amen? What kind of music we sing doesn't matter as long as it's from our hearts. What is important is that we have invited Jesus to abide with us and us with him. I know that some of you are struggling with things. I'm struggling with things. And I'm going to do something on the traditional side that we haven't done in a long time. I want to open up the chancel rail for just a few minutes. And if you'd like to come forward and kneel in prayer, you don't have to confess anything to me. I'll be here to pray with you if you like. But I'd just like to invite you to come forward if the Spirit's speaking to you today, and unload your burdens on the Lord.